Let us pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for being here with us, Father. It's your holy hours, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I think this is my time, right? Okay. Happy Sabbath. How's everyone doing this morning? I just want to hug everyone from here, but I can't, so, but you feel my hugs, right? Well, thank you for coming this morning. I want to thank the Family Life Ministry for giving me this opportunity, and also the pastors for giving me this time to speak with you this morning. And I welcome you. There's a lot of faces that I've been seeing, new faces. I want to welcome you to our Sacramento Center Church, and also our viewers. A lot of people are watching us today, friends from all over, even from Australia and Germany. And so praise the Lord, we send you our love from here. For those that don't know me, my name is Elizabeth Renhifo. We've been coming, my husband and I, we've been coming to this church almost 30 years. Wow, time flies. Amen. Our children grew up here, so they love this church. This is the church that they chose to come, you know, because we went to different churches when we moved from Southern California, and they chose this church. But before I even talk about my kids, I just want to say that I love sharing Jesus, especially with the children. Wherever I go, I just love to talk to parents. You know, we are living in dangerous times right now. So, and my husband and I, we've been invited to many places to talk about this subject. But before I even go through that, I wanna tell you that I come from a very, very large family. 10 children, that's my family. My mom and dad and 10 children. And you would think, how did my mom did with 10 children, right? Well, let me tell you a little bit. My daddy was the pastor and the president, conference president. So he was always busy. I remember my daddy not being too much at home because always doing something for the church. So my mom took the role of raising us, loving Jesus. And I could be here all day sharing what my mother did with us, but she took us, you know, I remember practicing church on Fridays. I remember my mother would have since Wednesday for 10 children, she had to, little boxes with our Bible, our little notes that we could write for the sermon, you know, when the pastor says Jesus or salvation, and she will reward us with something. But, you know, this is, I'm sharing these things so parents can have an idea. Because I have seen kids with their phone inside the church. I'm not saying from this church, because not in this church. But parents have told me. So I said, well, you know, I need to share that anyway. So the Lord blessed us with two children. You'll see in a minute. That's my son, John. He's a pastor. Now he's the ministerial director for the Maryland Jesse Conference. And his wife, Denny, she's a chaplain in one of the SDA hospitals, and also she's in the Air Force as a chaplain. And they have three beautiful children. And my daughter, Elizabeth, also married a pastor, Pastor Vin Saunders. You probably have, probably some of you know him because he used to be here at Woodside pastoring. Now he's in Elms Haven. He's pastoring two churches now. He pastors Calistoga Church, in also Elms Haven. My daughter is a school counselor, and they have three beautiful children too. The Lord blessed us. I remember when we did this like 4 years ago, and my husband presented us, and he said, my son is a pastor, and my daughter married a pastor, and my wife likes to preach all the time. I'm gonna tell you why. I attended Amazing Facts College of Evangelism, and I graduated as an evangelist and Bible instructor. So another time I will share a lot of stories, what happens, you know. There's a few here. Jeanne is a Bible instructor from Amazing Facts. So we have a lot of stories to share, you know, what happens when we're in school, knocking doors. You know, that's another topic. But It was very good. And you know, ever since I graduated, I remember seeing my daddy preaching, and I said, "Daddy, I want to preach. Why didn't you make me a boy?" And my daddy said, "You don't need to be a boy to preach Jesus. You can preach Jesus." So now you know. Oh, and after I graduated, I stopped coming to this church for a whole year because I worked at as a Bible instructor in Rancho Cordova. So it was a beautiful experience. You know, my husband and I, we've been invited to share this message with many parts in the U.S. And everywhere we go, we learn experiences of parents that are going through some problems, even the parents themselves or with their children. I have to look at my notes so I won't forget anything. And they said, you know, my children, they have no more interest in the Bible. They have no more interest going to church. And we're going to cover a little bit why children want to stop coming to church in a little while. But I titled my talk this morning, "With Jesus and the Family, Happy, Happy Home." And I was thinking this week, because I prepare all my notes from God's Word, from the Spirit of Prophecy. There's so much that we can learn as parents what to do with our children, and us as parents too. You know that book that says over there, how to say it? I don't know how many of you have it or have seen it. That's how to say it, like if you want to write for an invitation for a wedding or someone died, you know, it tells you, you know, what to say in a card or something. But you know, the Word of God is better than what to say it, right? And what to live, what to everything. So, you know, we learn a lot from God's Word. One of the books also that that was my guide when my children were growing up, that's Child Guidance, Counsel to Parents. I can see the Adventist Home. And there's other books that are not SDA books, but they're beautiful books also that I, you know, this Positive Discipline and many other books. Okay. So I'm going to start with my little topic, and even the time is, don't go, okay? But let me pray before I really, really jump into it. Dear Jesus, please be with us, my Father. This is something that you have for us, Father, that you want us to learn for our children, are the future of this church and this world. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that I need to share with you is how my mother called us to the worship. You know, I have heard from some of the parents, "Elizabeth, how do I do it? My children are not interested in having worship anymore." And I said, well, my mother used to sing, and she said, "When I'm going to sing this song, and when I'm done singing, if you're not here, then where does she get us 10 kids, right? So she has to sing because one is over there and all the other, you know, it's 10 of us." So I remember my mother, and she's almost done with a song, and we better run and sit there, you know? And that was morning and evening that my mother did worship. But how do we call the children for worship? I want the children to listen to me, because this is a story for you, okay? Andrew, where's my Andrew? He was a little boy. Now he's 17. But I took care of him a long time because my daughter was finishing college, Andrews. So when, you know, he knew that I would do worship with him. So I started singing. I said, "Okay, Andrew, we're gonna do worship." And he says, "No, mommy, I'm playing right now." He was playing with his little cars. I said, "Mother, what would you do?" And I said, "Okay, Andrew." And you know, I don't know how many of you have been in my house, but I have like 100 bears in my sofa. My husband, sometimes he comes and says, "Where do I sit?" Because I have bears all over. So I was sitting in the middle of the bears, and I said, "Okay, Andrew, we're going to have fun with the bears." And I pretended the bears spoke with me. you know, so what do you want to learn from the Bible? Oh, I want the story, you know, so they would tell me, oh, the story of Moses. Oh, no, and I was, oh, you guys, you want so many stories. So I was having fun with the bears, and he's looking at me, and guess what? He comes, all of a sudden, he sits, he moves one bear, and he sits in between the bears. You think I said to him, oh, now you come. I got so excited. I don't know if I could sing this, but I invented a little song that they still sing it now. I say, I am so happy that Andrew came, Andrew came, Andrew came. I am so happy that Andrew came to spend some time with Jesus. And that stayed forever in my family, no. So, you know, my parents, what I'm saying is, if the child does, you know, pray for them. Hug them and pray. So sometimes we cannot force them to, right, to come and have worship with us. In Proverbs 4:10 says, hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. In Matthew 21:22, it says, in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. These two verses are like the foundation of what I'm going to be saying this morning. I remember another little story, my kids. My daughter has twins. So the little boy is building blocks, you know. And then the little girl passed by, and she the little tall building that he was building, it came down. And he started crying, says, she pushed my tower. And I said, you know what? I see that you built it, but you did not do a strong foundation. Why don't we build it again and see what happens? You know, and he remembers that story. And he says, but Grandma, I make now my blocks, but I build up with a strong foundation. So you know, and this is us. It teaches the children, even teaches us what is a strong foundation, which is what? Jesus. And you know what? It says we need to be much in prayer for our kids because spending time with Jesus. In Psalms 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, what? Anybody knows that verse? They labor in vain who builds it. I am sharing this important message for us to retain those, you know, those parents. I know that in this church, your parents are beautiful because I teach the juniors, and they know their verses, and they know their Bibles, and they behave very good. So you know this. But there's some parents and some children that are not behaving very good. You know why? Because they have disconnected from the problem solver, which is Jesus. You know, in Child Guidance, page 27 says, your children are God's property, but with price. Be very particular of fathers and mothers to treat them in Christ-like manner. And also in Child Guidance, page 27 says, we need to make the education of our children our business, for their salvation depends largely upon the education given as a childhood. And it continues, it says, parents and guardians must themselves maintain purity of heart in life if they desire their children to be pure. You know, we hear stories of growing kids up, you know, at home with no love from the parents. They don't touch. I don't know, some you know me. I'm a hugger, so some people don't like hugs. I sometimes have to ask, can I hug you? But I don't think Jesus is gonna be shaking hands at home when we go to heaven. Do you think Jesus is gonna be shaking hands? Oh, welcome to heaven. I see. I don't think so. Well, my pastors already know me that I'm a hugger, you know, and most of you. But you know, we need to learn. You know why I'm a hugger? I used to work in a kindergarten. I used to be the teacher in the kindergarten in public school. And this is a sad story. And I was, I, I'm, I, even though, you know, it's a public school, they say, you know, don't hug the children, but I never obey. The children need hugs. It's kindergarten. They don't get hugs all week. And so one day, I'm coming because my class starts at 11 o'clock. No, 12 o'clock or something. So I come in through the front. I usually go to the back, but I come in through the front, not knowing that all the first graders and second graders that passed through me already were having a lunch in the lawn outside the school. So I come in, and they ran to hug me, and the proctors threw away their lunches because, you know, they left their lunches to come to hug me. So I go to class, and I get a note to go see the principal. So I say, okay, this. So I go and I remember in the door of the principal's office, and I just went like this. And he goes, Elizabeth, come in. I received the most beautiful complaint I've ever received in my life. I thought she was gonna say, you're dismissed, or. And she said, if they fire you, they have to fire me. So I said, okay, I have permission from the principal to hug my children. Some children don't get hugged. So parents, be more loving to your children. And it says, and parents and guardians, I think, did I read this one? Must themselves maintain purity of heart in life if they desire their children to be pure. We hear stories of, okay, growing up. Father is too busy after he comes home from work. What is the first thing they turn on? The television. Television before even spending or say hello to the children or the wife or the husband. Not you mothers. I'm not talking about you mothers, okay? I'm talking about those that don't pay attention. But many mothers spend so much time on Facebook making videos of themselves. I'm not criticizing, but it's because this is what's happening. Posting them on Facebook, no time for their children, no time for their spouses. And we wonder, why is it that our children don't obey? And some children rather have a friend that we do not approve of. There is no loving touch for our children. What would Jesus do? That's my question this morning. In Proverbs 22:6, it says, we learn, train up a child in the way he should go. So when he or she is old, what? He will not depart from it. In Deuteronomy 6:6-7 says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk to them when you sit in the house. When you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. So when is that? All the time. You know, let me tell you something. Turn off all electronics. Especially in mealtime. At mealtime, the TV's on loud, and you know, turn off the TV, parents. When you get in the car, have some cards. You know, I have some Bible verses that I teach my juniors and my kids, my grandkids. You know, have some Bible verses with you. Instead of, you know, having a complaint in the car or whatever, or they being on their phone, you know, because that's what they do. I say, you know what, kids, as soon as we get in the car, we're going to learn a memory verse, one or two, and repeat until. My parents, let's do that because our kids are growing up so quick. I have a devotional book that I read a little something. It's from Zig Ziglar. Even Pastor Doug, I heard him quoting some of his quotes, beautiful. It says, critical words cut like a knife. And sarcasm is like the same knife with a pearl handle. But healing message says, I love you. I am proud of you. I am sorry. You know, words that we need to pronounce more often. We live in entertainment culture right now. Our children spend many hours on video games. I don't even have to say, go there, right? Because I've seen mothers. I mean, not only the kids, but the mothers, you know, and the kid crying in the stroller. I mean, the store trying to pay, and the kids crying in the stroller. Mothers on Facebook, you know. I said, your baby's crying, and she looks at me like saying, it's none of your business. But, you know, that's how it's going on. Worship at home has disappeared. We do not pray as family anymore. Fathers and mothers working many hours. No time for spouse or children. Families stop going to church. The word of God tells us, and even in the Ten Commandments, in Exodus 23, you shall have no other gods before me. Amen. Okay, what are we feeding our kids? That's the book, that's the title of the book. What are we feeding our kids? It said, children spend more time watching TV than doing anything else except sleeping, according to University of Michigan, Professor Bruce Watkins. It says, the Consumer Union publisher of Consumer Report magazine estimates that average child potentially sees between 30,000 and 40,000 commercials annually. Whether rich or poor, children learn to tremendous amount about the world from watching programs and commercials. And we say no wonder, right? Many Christians' book, this is, I love it, but I didn't have it to take a copy. It says, it's called Endangered Mind, Why Children Don't Think and What We Can Do About It. It says, TV and video games turn kids into zombies. Not every program is bad, of course. You know, TV is not all bad. We could watch Christian, you know, in my house, I have a TV that is solely 3ABN, Amazing Facts, it is written, you know. But it says, that's why TV is not all bad. It says, TV and video games turn kids into zombies. Not every program is bad, but what are they watching? Why can they pay attention, the books keep saying? The reason our children don't follow direction is that they are tuned out. These children don't listen. They have so much stimulation. They are used to the TV blurring and stereo. I am not sure so many are, what do you call that? HDAD, attention deficit disorder. Because they don't have anything inside. They are so used to being entertained. You know that we live near a beautiful trail that my husband and I go for our walks. And almost every house has a basketball hoop? Almost every house. I have never seen a child playing. Where are the children? And I asked my husband, what a waste. Where are the children? On their videos, or I don't know what they're doing, right? So we go in the trail. They should be on their bikes doing exercise. Nothing. Beautiful summer. They're on vacation. What are we? What's happening? From the book, The Power of Prayer, says, Parent is by Stormy Omartian, page 27, 28. If your child has made poor choices, don't blame yourself and stop praying. Keep communication lines open with your child. Instead of giving up, resolve to be even more committed to prayer. Say, I have begun the fight. Keep in mind that the part of the fight is not your child. Who is who? It's with Satan. It is with the devil, the fight. He's your enemy, not your child. Stand strong in prayer until you see a breakthrough in your child's life. Even though Satan wants to destroy happy homes, with Jesus and the family, what? Happy, happy home. And that's the title of my talk this morning. Remember that this home is, you know, we're passing through. This is not our home. I remember my parents used to say that to us. And, you know, we can't wait to see what Jesus has for us. So this is not our home. And it says the life of a parent is busy, busy. You know that I write stories. I have so many stories that I register that should be in a book now. I don't know what's going to happen. And one of them is, one day you will sleep. And that's for mothers and fathers. And you know, in the book I mentioned something that might, someday you will sleep. Someday you will sit down and eat, because some mothers don't even sit down because they have to feed the babies and stuff. Someday you will take a long shower. We'll be able to rest your feet. But right now, fathers and mothers, we need to be ready as parents to face many challenges. There are many excellent books written that are not Adventist, but they're really good. It's, let me share, it says over here from the book, Jane M. Haley, PhD, says, how growing brains are physically shaped and experienced. Why television programs, even supposedly educational, shows like Sesame Street. When I heard that, when I read that, I go, uh-oh. Because kids like Sesame Street, right? Develop habits of mind that place children at a disadvantage in the school. Why increasing numbers of children are diagnosed with attention deficit disorder? From the book Guide to Parents says, never, never, never scold your child. Children will learn to love Jesus by your example. And Isaiah 8:18, I'm trying to go fast, my brothers and sisters, so for time's sake. It says, Isaiah 8:18 says, someday you will need to answer to Jesus when he asks, where are the children I loaned you? And we can reply to Jesus, here I am, and the children whom the Lord has given me. Let's be ready to say that to Jesus. I have a question, and I don't know how many of you read the Dr. Kuzma's book. She's on 3ABN. And one day she opened my eyes a long time ago. Because some parents have a different way of discipline. Oh, I have seen parents or people in the market, or that child needs discipline, you know. What's discipline? What is discipline? I have seen, okay. It means this, you know, you know, when I know what discipline means? It means a disciple who follows the instruction of another. One who disciples, lives, or gives instruction in such a way as to encourage others to follow. The word discipline and disciple come from the same Latin root word that means discipulus, meaning to learn. The role of a parent, therefore, is to disciple their children in such a way that the children are willing to follow their parents' instructions. Watch the shepherd. Now we're talking about Psalms 23. The shepherd's different way of discipline. Picture in your mind a shepherd with a flock of sheep. The shepherd's main task is to care for the sheep, providing good pastures, safe water, and protection. The sheep are grazing in the tender, cool, clear spring. The shepherd is holding a rod in his hand, and the shepherd loves the sheep. But as the lamb begins to wander away from the safety of the flock, why do you see that shepherd doing? How do you, he or she gets the lamb to come back to the flock? Did the shepherd get angry and scream? Did he or she forces the lamb to come back to the flock by beating him? How did the shepherd use the rod of correction? The tone of voice. Do they hear the shepherd using with the lamb? How does the shepherd train the lamb to follow? If you read Psalms 23 and note the role of the good shepherd, what do you think the psalmist says? Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Some children are hurting from beating. And they said, well, the Bible says to discipline them. But we need to learn from Jesus what discipline means. Let's talk about when children rebel. How can you avoid rebellion, passive aggression, and resentful in small children? Answer, pray, divert direction, reward positive behavior, maintain a positive relationship, and motivate rewards versus consequences. I'm gonna go quick. In Adventist Home, page 183 says, parents should not permit business, cares, and worldly customs and fashions to have control and power over them. Okay, I'm gonna tell you a little story. And I hope your parents, I think you remember, because we shared last time. But daddy is busy. Daddy is busy, he comes from work and he works in an office. He comes with his briefcase and the little boy, like 10 or 11 years old, every time daddy's in the door, oh daddy, you're gonna pray with me. You're gonna play with me today, right daddy? And daddy goes, oh my son, I still have things to finish in the office tomorrow. And again, the next day, tomorrow. And guess what? For the little boy, tomorrow never came. So the little boy, one day he says, daddy, how much money do you make an hour? And the father, oh, why are you asking me that? How much, daddy? Oh, he said, well, maybe like $50. He ran to the neighbors and he asked if he could do some raking. Where's my picture? If he could see some raking and he would clean the neighbor's yard, and the neighbors knew that he was collecting money for something good. So they will pay him extra. And he will come, mommy, come. Do I have $50? Come, please, mommy. And mommy says, well, you know, not yet. You have like 30-something, you know, again. Mommy, can you work with me? Can you pay me if I do something? And mommy says, That's the other story. Sorry. It's that story about the other story. And mommy finally one day say, I want the pastor to tell me when, okay? Because I still have a lot. I still have something to cover. And mommy said, son, you only need one more dollar, but I'm going to give it to you. So he comes, when daddy came the next day, he comes and says, daddy, I have 1 hour to pay you for to play with me. $50 an hour, because he said. What do you think daddy said? He started crying. He says, my son has to pay me to pay with him. So parents, I'm telling you, no matter how much work, no matter how busy we are, pay attention to our children. They're only children once, and they're the future of this church. Fathers and mothers, when we are attending our children and the phone rings, not anymore because my kids are big and they're married, but when the phone rings and I used to see, she likes to talk for 2 hours. I would say, my sister, my beautiful sister, can I call you later? Or because right now I'm attending to my child. Do that. But if you know that they're going to take you 2 hours, an hour, and you left the child in the middle of something, don't do that. Take away for that. Do not neglect. I said, reasons why, I need to cover this and then I'm done, okay? The reasons why children leave the church. My husband and I, we've been Sabbath school teachers for many years in Southern California and here too. And we learn a lot of stories from children. It's hot. From children that they don't come to church anymore. And I'm gonna just quick. We were teachers of the early teen. We had 50 early teen. That was Southern California. That's a big church. In Sarah, eight of the girls were doing Bible studies, baptismal studies. So Sarah, one of the girls, said to his daddy, "Daddy, I'm getting baptized with all my friends." And you know what daddy says? "No, you're not. You're only doing it because you want to be a part of the group, of the bunch. You are not getting baptized." She came to me. What do I do? I'm only the Sabbath school teacher. My daddy said, I can't get baptized because I'm only following the group that. So it's one of the reasons. I don't want to think about it because I cry. Another story is about Johnny. I told you last time, but I'm going to tell just really quick. Johnny is a boy that came by force, almost by force, by me saying, Johnny, come to my class, you know. And then I told him, I'm never going to ask you again because he didn't want to come. But the following Sabbath, he's there, and I give him a kiss. And, you know, the following Sabbath, when I see him again, I give him another kiss, and he will clean the kiss, and I don't care. But the third Sabbath, I did it on purpose. I said, oh, Johnny, I'm so happy. And I wanted to shake his hand. And then I walked away. He's worth my kiss. You know, see, children get used to that. But let me say something. Why children leave the church? They hear their parents on their way home criticizing their pastor, criticizing the sermon, criticizing the brothers and sisters. So when the children get older, you think they're going to love church? I just want to, you know, when I don't like, I mean, to my ears, don't ever come and say anything negative to my pastors, because and we say that in front of our children and our way to home, talking about the sermon, negative. And it says in Counsels to Parents and Teachers, 170, it says, teachers who are nervous and easily irritated should not be placed over our children and youth. They must love the children because they are the younger members of the Lord's family. It says, parents and teachers, never, never pass up the chance to say, I love you. Because what? Tomorrow is never promised. And sing at home, my brother's singing. You know, we have we wanted to sing it, but for sake of time, we're not going to do that. But sing with the children. We sing with Jesus in the family, happy, happy home. But if it's not a happy home, the children don't want to even sing, right? So try to sing, you know, something. And Jesus is knocking at the door right now. I'm going to just finish right here. But Jesus is knocking at our door. And how many of us are going to say, yes, Jesus, come in. Teach me how to be a better parent. Real quick, I'm going to say this Adventist Homes real quick. The mother should enter upon her work with courage and energy, relying constantly upon the divine aid in all her efforts. She shall never rest satisfied until she sees in her children a gradual elevation in character. You know, we can do all things what? Through Christ who strengthens us. That's Philippians 4:13. Say it all day, my parents, you know, when you get up. I can do all things. Jesus says, you know, without me what? You can do nothing. That means that everything, we can do it with him. Okay, real quick. Oh, yeah. In Psalms 127:3-5 says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are God's possession. He has them temporarily placed them in your care. And in fact, our children are on loan. Okay, I'm going to have to jump. Do I have 2 minutes? Pastors, where are you? No pastors? It says, with our children around you, bow before the Father in heaven and ask him for help to guard the trust he has given you. Let your petition be short. That's another thing I want to tell the parents. When your children are small, don't make a long worship service. Okay? Make it short, depending on their years. Make it short so they could be interested in coming. Okay? Okay. This is my last one. In the devotional that I may know him, says, Heavenly Father, I want my children to be saved. Grant me the aid, thy spirit, that I may train them, that I be counted worthy to inherit your eternal Okay, today outside in my table, you know, you could find some of my notes that I shared today in case you were interested and take some home. But I'm going to finish with this. A little boy is sitting on daddy's lap. Okay, mama. He's sitting on his daddy's lap, and he had a question. He says, "Daddy," he's looking at daddy, "how does God look like?" And daddy, how am I going to explain? How does God look like? "Well, my son, God is loving. God is patient. God is forgiving." And daddy had a long list of qualities, beautiful qualities for this explaining how God looks like. And when the little boy heard everything, he got his daddy's face in his hands and he says, "Oh, daddy, I know how God looks like. He looks like you." Parents, how do we look to our children? So I'll leave you with that. God bless you. And I think the singers are coming.
Please stand with us as we sing our closing hymn, 652, Love at Home.
Love at home. softly, sweetly glide when there's love at home. Love at home. Love at home. Time doth softly, sweetly glide when there's love at home.
Stay. Before I pray, I just want to share a little something. There was a beautiful painting that was given to a family, a poor family. Beautiful painting. The pastor didn't explain what kind of painting, but it says that it was a beautiful painting. When they brought the painting in the house, it covered the whole wall from top to bottom. But then they noticed that on the side of the painting, the wall was with nails and stains. And they said, you know what? That does not look that beautiful. Why don't we paint the wall? So they raised a little money because they were a poor family, and they painted the wall. And now the beautiful frame, beautiful picture stood up. But then they said, wait a minute, what about this wall and this wall? And little by little, as they could with the little money they had, they painted each wall. But then they only wanted to be in that room because that's a beautiful room. So they little by little, they painted the whole house only because one painting came into their home. When Jesus comes into our home, into our hearts, he does not only changes the walls, he changes our hearts and our minds. So let's pray this morning that the Lord comes and change everything in us. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for being today with us, my Father. Thank you for teaching us the love that you have for us, Father. You died for us, so you want us to be loving to our children, to our spouses, to our neighbors, to our pastors, to our brothers and sisters in church. Father, help us to have more love in ourselves. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.